Greetings, Traveler, and welcome to Episode 3 of Lowfire Tales. These are short stories set in the world of Hallowtide. Content may not be appropriate for all audiences, and listener discretion is advised. Tonight, we follow along with one of the infamous few among the Saraton faith, who choose to take both the red and the black. Be sure to say your verses and keep your lanterns burning brightly. This story was written by Chris Bungie and performed by Ben Turley.
"Bring him in," Lavork said, not bothering to look up from his writing. The two guards half carried the large farmer to a seat on the other side of the room from Lavork, not an easy feat due to the man's bulk and unsteadiness on his feet. His breath came out in pained wheezes through the burlap sack over his head, the front of it already stained brown with his dried blood. The guards had been at him most of the night, and the old Inquisitor hoped that he could still speak without blubbering. There was a time when Lavork would have relished the chance to be a part of the breaking process. There was a certain way these things ought to be done, and he did not trust the two fresh conscript galler to make the frontiermen understand that there was a purpose to the pain. The inflicting of pain without purpose was barbarism. However, used wisely, it could be a potent tool in the reclamation of the lost. There was a time when he would spend all night reciting the visions as he went through each of his tools in order until he had reduced even the most obstinate sinner to singing the praises along with him. Yet, that was a long time ago, a time when the fire of his faith burned hotter and his hands did not carry the cold in every joint. Now even the idea of using his tools again caused a little twinge of agony to slip from his wrist. A shame how the will of Surratt must be carried in a mortal shell in all of its frailty. Lavork put aside his treatise on the flowering plants of the lower Goleth region and pulled out the thin black book that contained his official log. Licking the tips of his fingers, the Inquisitor flipped through the pages until he found one crisp and unspent, and massaged it open so that it would lay flat against the table. Name. "His name is Vel Devonik," said the younger, more red-faced galler. "Did I ask you?" Lavork fixed the conscript with a withering stare. "If I wanted to hear you speak, you'd be the one in the chair. Now remove the hood and let the man say his piece." The youth sneered, but did as he was asked, pulling back the sack to reveal the broken face of the man in the chair. One eye was swollen over, and his lips were a cut mess that dribbled with slobber, pinkened by the blood at the corners of his mouth. His good eye blinked at the Inquisitor several times, but did not appear to register what he was really seeing. Lavork exhaled slowly, already knowing that it was going to be a long day, and he had yet to break his fast. It was rare of him to steal moments for himself in climates such as these, and he had seized on the hour he had to work on some illustrations for his folio. "What is your name?"
"Vel."
The man gazed between the two crested galler as he spoke.
"Vel Devonik. I am with—"
"Not necessary," the Inquisitor interjected. "Just the question presented, please. My name is Lavork Bellringer, and I have been instructed by the Vettel of the Kavath to get to the bottom of the matter of the hanged man originally removed from your property on the 15th of Elun, and the multiple sightings that have occurred since that night."
"It was a scarecrow!"
The man slurred the last word like a drunkard and set Lavork's teeth on edge. He never had any patience for those that indulged in base spirits, and even if the man's condition was the result of rough treatment, the tone still irritated the cloth-bearer. "I did not ask a question yet. And just because I come from the Cathedral City, do not think I am ignorant of frontier customs. Scarecrowmen and their artifice have no place within the light of the Hallowed Lands. Such lax faith leads to much worse corruptions of divisions."
"Just a scarecrow,"
the man continued weakly, his eyes once more falling to the ground.
"And we burned it up like we said we would. It went up like kindling, and that was supposed to be that."
"And yet, it wasn't really over, was it?" Lavork made a show of reviewing his flower notes like they were damning evidence. He had, of course, memorized all pertinent details and entertained several local legends that could speak to the mentality of the locals. Although his muscles may have begun the slow, inevitable decline of age, he still refused to let his mind follow suit.
"We thought it was just a walker."
"Inside the sight of the lanterns?" Lavork said, disbelief plain upon his face. Vel lifted his head from the lazy lull of gravity.
"Not our fault. We hang the lanterns outside our gates like we ought, and cost comes to kindle them once a copper moon. Still, they flicker, and that's on the priest."
The Inquisitor held up his hand and conceded a slight nod in the man's favor.
course, the addle-minded Celadrell of such a village as this was also on his list to spend time in the chair as well. Although, a priest of the blue would require a more personal touch. Any gala laying hands on such a man would be first in line for the rope, no matter how much the brother let visceral weakness cloud his spirit. The state of the wards, as they were, you made no report of that to anyone. How long had you been aware that your protections were failing? Three moons passed. We saw a Hollow Rider come to our door and mark it thrice.
Choir blessed.
Lavoric sat back and signed the air before him with a cutting motion. A Hollow Rider? You must have been very frightened indeed. With a new child in the crib as well. I know the young ones had a rough time of it since entering this world.
Vel nodded his head and shot an upward glance at the window, as if he would be granted sight of his farm 3 miles up the road. I mean, I have no children myself. It is one of the sacrifices one must take to the black.
That kind of knowledge should not be passed on to a child, and such a burden does not leave much time for parenthood. Still, I can imagine one would do anything to keep such a fragile thing safe in a dangerous world such as this.
We pray as hard as anyone. Make service twice a week, even with the travel. Cos has blessed her no less than 8 times despite her crying and carrying on.
One cannot blame you for turning to other options, given the circumstances. I understand that your family traces back to the ridge. The farmer tore his gaze from the window and back towards Lavoric. The Inquisitor could almost see the wheels turning without much purchase inside the man's blunted skull.
My father still lives there along with his sisters and my cousins.
They don't use lanterns up there, do they? They have their own doctors.
She was a midwife!
Vel blubbered and raised his hands quick enough that the two gallers stepped forward before he clasped them together in a pleading gesture.
She was just bringing for the baby to help her sleep. She had treated me when I was small and my aunts before me. Who knows how many children she saved?
Do you know of Selbrum and Tiliac? Lavoric interrupted. The large man stopped dead again as his mental carriage upended completely.
The flowers?
Yes, yes, the flowers. Do you know of them?
Purple petals is pretty poison, but Lady Pink is fine for a drink?
Vel recited from memory. Lavoric almost clapped his hands together before catching himself.
Yes!
The old rhyme works well enough, but people often overlook the... culpability or guilt of Lady Pink. See, purple Tiliac is quite deadly, but you have to get a real mouthful for it to work. It's terribly bitter. One taste of an afflicted shrink and the would-be victim would spit it out immediately. However, a couple Sebrum petals mixed in neutralizes taste almost entirely. So for hundreds of years, abused wives and disinherited heirs have used them in combination to better their fortunes. The farmer merely tilted his head in confusion at Lavoric's detour. My point is, because something is sweet, it can often hide great evil. I have no doubt that Romilda has saved many children not meant for this harsh world, but she also carries with her dangerous knowledge from the Ridge. Temptation to rely on heretical devices that hold open doors for demons to slip inside.
How do you...
Well, I never ask a question I don't already know the answer to. Romilda is currently under arrest not 2 houses down from us, and I plan to bring her in after we've finished with you. She wasted even less time than you admitting her role in the construction of a scarecrow.
We burnt it! It was done and done, and we even took turns pissing on the ashes!
The church does not condone relieving oneself upon diabolical instruments as means of contrition. The edge returned with a new sharpness in Lavoric's voice.
Cos may have been lapsed in his responsibilities, but it was still your duty to report and his duty to cleanse. Yet you do not seek him out, and now this town is beset by an apparition of your own making.
Please, I will confess my sins now, and all will be forgiven. You wear the black. You can take them from me.
Vel fell forward onto his knees and prostrated himself before the cleric. Lavoric watched him flounder for a long moment before licking his fingers and turning over a new page. That is a common mistake outside the holy cities. It is true that many of my kin who have taken the black live to free others from the burden of their sins. However, I also wear the red as do the 2 men at my sides. This gives me quite another responsibility. I have taken the stain of dark knowledge upon myself, and I have also been given the tools of which to stop its spread. Your soul should rest easy in the knowledge that once the spirit has been exorcised, and your wife and Romilda have joined you beyond the meanders, this sin your sin, will be scourged from this world.
You can't take her! It was me who invited Romilda!
Vel continued his protest as the two Galler led him away, but Lavork had stopped listening and returned to his treatise. The interrogation had stopped in the middle of illustrating the graceful arcing step of the Tiliac flower. And for all its lethality, it was truly far more beautiful than its sister. No wonder so many people had picked it in the first place.
I hope you have enjoyed tonight's episode of Lowfire Tales. We still have a few more episodes to go on the way to Season 2. I have been your storykeeper, Chris Bungie. If you like what you're hearing, please search us out on social media and support the cause on Patreon, where you can also find great resources for your own horror RPGs. Until next we meet.